Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we just talked about how the web is complicating the legal picture for delivering television and internet service. Now let's look at how it's complicating what may be New Yorkers' favorite gripe, the high cost of housing. Airbnb is that web-based apartment sharing slash short-term renting service that helps you rent out your spare room or whole apartment to travelers, as many of you know. But it lives in a gray area as far as hotel laws, apartment leases, and co-op and condo rules are concerned. And it is reported to be about to go public, so there's a lot of money at stake in legitimizing the Airbnb business model. And so now they're in the crosshairs of New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. Matthew Flam, senior reporter at Crain's New York Business, is here to talk about Airbnb's latest legal questions here in New York, plus speculate maybe on whose interests will end up winning out. Welcome back to the show, Matt Flam from Crain's.
Hi, Brian. Good to be here.
So Airbnb was in court this week trying to quash, as they say, a subpoena issued by New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. What records is he seeking?
He wants all the data about who is renting their rooms and apartments in New York, which is something that there are something like 20,000 hosts, and Airbnb sees this as vast government overreach.
In 2010, New York State passed a law to try and stop landlords from taking apartments off the market to rent them out as unofficial hotel rooms, but bypassing regulations that apply to the whole hotel industry. In other words, they were trying to have it both ways, up the value of their apartments, which also pushed rents up in the whole city, pushes rents up because there are fewer apartments on the market for regular rentals, but then bypassing regulations that apply to the hotel industry because they say, well, we're not really hotels. So this law passed in 2010 said you can't rent out your vacated apartment for less than 30 days, less than 30 days being like a hotel. And Airbnb then pretty much acknowledged it was posting illegal listings. It acknowledged it by removing 2,000 of them before the hearing. So do we say that Airbnb is in the same category or a different category from these landlords who are warehousing apartments to use them as rentals? With Airbnb, it's really people who are already there renting, right?
Well, it's very complicated, and there are many different kinds of users, many different kinds of hosts in New York. And what Airbnb says most of the time is that the vast majority, something like 87% of its hosts in New York are just ordinary New Yorkers renting out their apartments on a short or a room on a short-term basis just to help make ends meet and not doing it as a business, as an ongoing business or as a regular thing. There's a lot of dispute over that, and that's really where the subpoena, the Attorney General subpoena, started. Was they couldn't get the exact information from Airbnb, and this getting rid of the 2,000 bad actors, as they call them. They say that was in the works for a while, and it was just just unusual timing that it happened on the eve of the court hearing. But it does show that even they know they're operating in a gray area.
What's a good Airbnb actor and what's a bad Airbnb actor?
Well, the best Airbnb actor would be somebody who's complying with the law, and that would be somebody who has a room in their apartment and rents it out, and the tenant stays in the apartment while they're renting it out. Then they are fully within the law, except they may not actually be in the law in terms of their building. It depends on what the rules are, if there are condo and co-op bylaws that forbid that as well. So you started by saying this is touching at the heart of many New Yorkers, high cost of living. It's also touching at the how protective New Yorkers are of their dwellings. dwellings, because a lot of people don't want their neighbors bringing in strangers, even if it's within the rules that, you know, of the state law.
So, listeners, what's your take? Have you ever used Airbnb either as an owner or a traveler, or do you suspect your neighbor does or know your neighbor does? Does it affect you one way or another if you're an Airbnb neighbor? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Does Airbnb represent in a way the best of the web because it helps you afford your overpriced New York apartment? Or is it part of the reason those apartments are overpriced by incentivizing landlords to rent out apartments like hotel rooms? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We posted this question on Facebook, too, and some of the responses that we're getting. Samia writes, I know in my building, per the property manager, it has driven rent up. Singles are staying in huge apartments and rent the spare space full-time, and those of us with families are squished into small apartments. Sarah on Facebook writes, everyone I know who has rented their place out on Airbnb has done it to help pay the skyrocketing rent, not to run a small hotel. So there you go, a couple of starting points from our Facebook users. And our guest, Matthew Flam from Crane's New York Business, as we talk about Airbnb wanting to go public and being in court with the New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman this week. And Airbnb, Matt, is saying it wants to start collecting hotel taxes, but wants the law changed to make it more seamless for its users. Are those two things contradictory?
Well, the thing is, there's some resistance to changing the law for them to collect hotel taxes. The state and even the hotel lobby has said they want Airbnb collecting hotel taxes, but at the same time, certainly the hotel associations don't want Airbnb to be considered an actual legal business. They feel that there's still an outlaw operation. They're not required. There's no fire code requirements, you know, for the rooms they rent out.
Well, there's a fire code requirement for any building in New York City, isn't there?
Sure, but if you have, well, certainly for people renting out whole apartments, you have a lot of traffic, a lot of people coming in and out.
They're not the same as the hotel industry's fire regulations, basically.
That would be the argument.
And the hotel industry's interest, we should put it out there, is pretty clear. Airbnb lets travelers find lower-cost options and gets to operate without the same regulations that the regular hotels face. And bottom line, they just don't want the competition. So they're fighting a changing marketplace, right?
That's true, and this is the problem, is that I know people who've used Airbnb in other cities, and they come back and they say it's just a great experience. And there are people who I've spoken to who are renting out their rooms here who say it's really helped them, and they like doing it. So it's a very complicated thing. I think a lot of people would like it to be able to work. It's just very difficult.
Maria in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Good morning.
Morning.
I live in a rent-stabilized building, and as apartments become vacant, they have become hotel apartments. The traffic is unbelievable. The use of drugs is unbelievable. The hallway is always lit up. Okay, meanwhile, we have all these people in shelters that could use these apartments. Okay, I have no problem with a person who has an apartment, and they have an extra room, and it's allowed in their building. But when landlords begin to take rent-stabilized apartments and when people move out or are evicted, they then turn them into hotel apartments because the whole building is going to go that way.
Well, there you are. Maria, thank you very much for that call. And I don't think she could have put it any more clearly in terms of what some of the central issues are here. Do we know by definition, just from Maria's description, assuming she's got it right, that her landlord is on the wrong side of the law?
By definition, absolutely, because the law says you cannot rent out an apartment without the tenant of that apartment being there. As it turns out, I think something like two-thirds of the apartments of the rentals on Airbnb are whole apartments.
Right. But that's the landlord renting out the whole apartment rather than renting it to renters. And as she says, there are people in shelters who could use these rent-stabilized apartments. But when you say the law requires you to be there, what about the ordinary person who's got an apartment that they either own or rent, and maybe they travel for business and use Airbnb to rent out their apartment while they're away, or when they go away on vacation, they rent out their apartments to people who are coming here on vacation? That's illegal?
Actually, that is illegal. But if you talk to legislators who oppose Airbnb, they'll say, you know, really, that isn't who we're targeting. You know, somebody who, you know, rents it out 1 week a year, that isn't what this is about. It's really about what Maria just described, and about people who have multiple dwellings that they rent out, and, you know, situations
right.
where you do have all that
traffic. But then maybe there needs to be a change in the law so that distinction gets made, because I think that's part of the fear here on the part of people who use Airbnb when they go away, that is, rent their apartments out using Airbnb, that, hey, we're just, you know, little people trying to help pay the rent by renting out our apartment when we're away. Don't treat me like Maria's landlord.
That's right. The problem, you still may be in violation of your building's laws, you know, if it's a condo or a co-op.
Right. Well, beyond those private contracts that are the co-op and condo rules, we're talking about the law. So should the law treat that person the same way it treats Maria's landlord? Is that at least a debate in Albany?
That is. And there have been some bills put forward that would loosen the regulations somewhat and possibly allow for some of that activity. They haven't gone very far.
Lori in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lori. Lori, turn your radio off. Lori, I'm talking to you. I'm going to give you a minute here because I really want to hear your story. Lori, all right, Lori, I'm going to come back to you, I promise, but I'm going to go to Debbie in Woodmere first. Debbie, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, good morning. My question is, I work in Queens, and there's two schools there, so the teachers are desperate for parking spots. The homeowners pave their driveways, pave their lawns to accommodate more cars. For instance, I know of one residence where he paved his whole lawn and driveway so that he accommodates 9 cars. And he collects cash from, you know, any teacher who parks there or any student who brings their car to school. And this is going on all over Queens because parking is impossible. I wanted to know if this is going to be affecting, you know, people with this driveway business.
I think that's a different set of laws. And, Debbie, you may be interested to know in Woodmere there that tomorrow our first segment on the show is going to be about whether the suburbs in the New York area have a future, certainly including Long Island. Matthew, that would be a different set of laws, wouldn't it, or would it, about paving over your front lawn so you can rent 9 parking spaces?
Yes, I think that's a different issue.
But maybe that's an issue we should do on another day, because that sounds pretty interesting. Is Lori gone? Okay, Lori's not going to be able to tell her story. How about Sarah in Brooklyn? Hi, Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a friend who I think is illegally running an Airbnb operation pretty much as her primary job.
How do they do it?
She has leases on 3 or 4 different apartments in New York City, and she rents them all out via Airbnb. She doesn't live in any of them.
And what do you think about this?
I think it's pretty upsetting that basically new people I know who are moving to the city looking for apartments are having a heck of a time finding a new place to live, and she got these 4 apartments out of the housing stock for New York City residents, and she's using them as hotels.
Sarah, thank you. So is there a zoning question here, Matthew? I mean, I would think the de Blasio administration, which is about to unveil on May 1st a huge affordable housing blueprint for the city, considering the callers that we're getting and how many of them are concerned primarily about affordable rentals being taken off the market through Airbnb, is this in the de Blasio administration's crosshairs for exactly that reason? And is there a zoning issue here? Are people living in residential areas and residential buildings not allowed to do what Sarah's friend is doing, you know, buy up multiple apartments and use them as hotels? Or if that's the business she's in, that's the business she's in.
Well, it really depends on the size of the building. I think you know, buildings with three or fewer apartments. The illegal hotel regulations do not apply. But if they're bigger, Class A, so-called apartment buildings, then yeah, that would definitely fall afoul of the law. And I think that's a big reason why de Blasio has been against Airbnb, at least in some of the statements he's made, and why. Really, I think even bigger than the hotel lobby is housing activists and tenants groups are opposing Airbnb for this reason.
For exactly this reason. Our business editor, Charlie Herman, was at your Crane's New York Business breakfast this morning with the New York State Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman. I don't know if you were there or just other people from Crane's. Were you there?
I was not there. Everybody just came back talking about it.
But according to Charlie, Schneiderman acknowledged that he is interested in protecting the hotel industry, which apparently raised Charlie's eyebrows. It would raise my eyebrows if he said it that way, which makes it sound like he's got an interest in a particular industry. I don't know if they give him a lot of campaign donations or what. But is this consistent with anything you know?
I can't say it is, and I don't know how it was said. The hotel industry, it is an important industry, but so is the tech industry, and you have a lot of the tech industry up in arms about how Airbnb is being treated.
Right, and I guess, the hotel, yes, we don't want the hotel industry. Let's say we don't want the tourism industry to dry up in New York State, but I could imagine, for all the criticism that Airbnb has been getting on this show and this segment and from our callers, there's another way to look at it, which would be, well, why not let individuals compete with, the Best Westerns and the Trumps and so on and so forth without locking in laws that give them kind of a monopoly over regular people who want to try to use their property.
Yeah, and I would also say that the hotel business in New York has been pretty good, and all while this has been going on.
Right. Well, that's a good point, too. All right, let's see if we can get one more call in. Morgan in Soho, you're on WNYC.
Yes.
Hi, Morgan.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
This is a mixed building. A small percentage is rent stabilized. It was sold recently, and the owner and the management company evicted all the people with market rate leases and people who had gentleman agreements with the previous landlords and installed an Airbnb operation here. And we have people from all over the world staying 2-3 nights maximum weekend. And the people who were evicted were here for like 24 years, installed their children in school systems of their choice. We are professionals here, and it's the building is 150 years old.
So if I want to play devil's advocate here, as much of as a horror story as that sounds like it is,
it's awful because I'm constantly in there's strange people where we were a community here who looked after each other.
If I'm your landlord, I probably say, well, I own property. That's my business. If I want to rent to families for the rest of time, I can rent to families for the rest of time. Or when their leases are up or whatever, I can decide that I'm going to change the way that I use my property and rent it out under Airbnb. What would you say?
I think it's wrong.
Just not the moral equivalent.
It's really not. And not only that, the building is filled with violations.
Morgan, thank you very much. And that's just the kind of thing that, to wrap this up, has Airbnb in the crosshairs of New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, which is going for all the records of Airbnb space owners. So what's next, Matt? The judge rules and the negotiations begin?
Right now, they're waiting for the judge's decision. Airbnb and the Attorney General's office, they're not talking to each other. There had been talks of a settlement before the hearing. And they're waiting. And then once a decision is made and if the subpoena is enforced, I guess we'll see, you know, what results there.
And are there implications for the rest of the so-called sharing economy? And, you know, it's kind of a misnomer. I'm sure Airbnb loves calling this apartment sharing. It's not – nobody's sharing anything, right? It's a business. But where people rent out cars, I don't know, zip cars, errand running, even city bikes via social media?
Well, what is the question exactly?
Are there implications for other sharing economy, areas from what happens to Airbnb in court?
Well, certainly could set the tone. And New York has the reputation for being a difficult place for these sharing economy companies. But the rules are different in each case. You know, for ride-sharing companies, they have to deal with the Taxi and Limousine Commission. There are dining, sharing marketplaces. So they each run afoul of different regulations. And New York, because it's a very crowded place, happens to have a lot of regulations.
Matt Flam, senior reporter for Crane's New York Business. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.